Let's open up our Mishnayos. And we have to put on our thinking caps. Because remember, this was the Mishnah. I see this Mishnah of a woman who's pickling to be more difficult to understand than all of the sugyas that Abaye v'Rava argued about all through Shas. So we're going to have to do an easy job on this. Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Beit, Mishnah Aleph. All right, so basically what we've picked up so far are some of the basic halachas. Let's see how it is that in an actual case where things get a little bit complicated, as they do in actual cases, we can apply all of these dinim. So we're going to talk about separate cases, three separate cases. This way, at least we have a picture of what's coming. And we're going to have three separate cases of tumah that are in the same pickle. And the pickle was that a woman was actually busy making pickles. So she was putting these cucumbers into a jar. And now she had three different possibilities of what way she might actually be metame things. And let's take the question, the first question, where we have someone who was essentially tahor, but she has stam yadai. Stam yadayim, remember, has a din of sheni latuma and will actually pass truma if you touch the stam yadayim. Now, you're with your stam yadayim, if you touch truma, so it will become posel, which means we call it a shlishi. Can't be matame. Beyond that, that's why it's called posel and not tame. So first of all, what we're talking about in our Mishnah is a case where there was no hechshel kabel tuma yet. So in other words, until the pickles, the cucumbers, are actually put into the jar, they're not in contact with water yet. And we're also taking for granted that the leaves that are on this would also be able to be mekabel tuma, either because of the fact that they are themselves edible when they're pickled together, and therefore they're considered to be an eichlin, or in some of the cases, because of yadayim. So over here, before she did it, these cucumbers are bechlal not shaykh to be mekabel tuma in any way. They only get wet when she puts them into the jar with the water and the vinegar, salt, or whatever she's using. And at that point, they become mukhshir lekabel tuma, and therefore, if she touches naga'a ba'aleh chutz l'kedera, so now she touches one of the leaves that was on the cucumbers that she was putting in, and the part that she touches is chutz l'kedera. It's outside of the jar. And it's also b'makom hanaguf. So this part of the leaf was not wet. The other part was wet, but she touches it where no contact with water or any of the shiva bashkin had been made yet. And it's even possible that the whole thing is not in the jar, but it's still attached to this whole the stem, where you have the cucumber on it, and the rest of the stem is inside of the water, or inside of the pickling agent, and she touches the dry part, then that would mean that the entire leaf is considered to be mukhshir lekabel tuma. Because remember that hechshir lekabel tuma is not defined by the actual area that's wet, it's just that which turns it into an eichlin. So even if you touch something that is completely dry and something that was never exposed to water, but it's on part of a vegetable that was partially exposed to water, even though that was 2 weeks ago, that wouldn't matter. So in this case, let's say that the Allah in this case has a kibetza. The shear of a kibetza is sufficient to be metame other eichlin, according to everybody. Then the halacha is like this. The Allah itself is tamei because it's a shlishi because it came into touch with Yadayim and its puzzle. Talking about Truma. But everything else is Tahar. How is that? That's simply because, as we learned in the first parak, Shlishi cannot make a Revi, even though it's Truma. If it weren't Truma, it couldn't be a Shlishi at all, obviously, because Chulin can only go down to Sheni. So in this case, the rest of the cucumbers in the jar, all of them are Tahar. And what's more, the pickling juice, the water that's in there, is not going to be Mekabel Tuma. Because another one of the Kiddushim that we learned about in the previous parak was that even though we're talking about Mashkin, but the din of Truma, that is Pasul, is not even Metame Mashkin Liyotchila. It would only be Metame Mashkin if we're talking about Kiddush. But in the case of Truma, it will not be Metame Mashkin from something that's Pasul, and because of that, everything else is Tahar. Now, how about if the woman touches the leaf on the part that is wet and is actually in the water? Now we have a problem. Because if she touches it, b'mokom hamashke, and there's still water on it, so then if this particular leaf has a shear of a kibetza to be metame, so in this case, hakol tame, because the mashke that was on it became itself a Rishon Latuma directly, since it came into contact with a Sheini, which is Eisa Mashkan Liyos Techila. This is similar to the last case that we had in the previous parak. Remember, we said over there, there's a big difference between a case where you had a bunch of kikarot, where the outside of the kikar was wet, versus a case where you have a bunch of kikarot, where there's water on top of the kikar, but not between the kikarot. So therefore, if you started off with the kikar, this was our previous Mishnah, if you started off with a kikar that was a sheni, then it would keep going forever, because the damp on the outside is going to become a rishon, and then it'll be betame the next kikar to be a sheni, and then that kikar will touch the damp on the outside and make it a rishon, which will be betame the next kikar ad infinitum. So in that case, it was a totally different problem than the case where we were trying to make the mashkim themselves be able to be betame the kikar. Same thing is true over here. If you're talking about having something being the Allah, in this case, is the equivalent of the kikar. So if the Allah is capable of being metame the water inside of the jar, then of course that would change everything, but it isn't, because we're talking about Truma. But if she actually touched the water, then we change that water that was Nagea Bashini into a Rishon. And if that's the case, now everything, if there is a shear of Kabbalas and giving off Tuma, namely Shirv Kibetz, and we said, Tzimachlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether you need it both for Kapola and for giving off, but certainly you need it for giving off. So then the Mashka became a Tchila. And therefore it makes the food in that it's touching, in this case, the Allah, it makes it a Sheni. And now the Sheni is able to be Metame all of the Truma through the water that's in the jar. And what's more, not only that, but it was also metame the jar. Why? Because remember that mashkim, since they are tchila, one of the gezeras on mashkim is that mashkim tmeim are part of the gezera of the yitches tova that were metame kelim, based on mashkim tmeim. Of course, totally min rabbana. How about if there wasn't a kibetza in the Allah that she touched? So then the Allah itself is mekabel tuma. But since it cannot emanate tuma, so the rest of the eichlin in the jar remain tahar, because they don't have a source of eichlin the size of a kibetza to be metame them. Now, how about if chazar l'kidera, how about if the leaf that was wet actually is put back into the jar? Ah, so now there's wet water, which is a rishain, and that would be metame everything, because I don't need the Allah to be metame, because the mashkin itself became a tchila, and when it's put into the kedera, it's metame everything, including the kedera itself with the gezera de rabbanan, because mashkin tchila are metame b'chol shehu, not only with a shear of kibetza. Liquids are metame b'chol shehu. It's only foodstuffs that require a kibetza. Gavi, maybe you would want to write that down. Mashkin are metamim b'chol shehu. All right. So then that would mean once the leaf goes back in, it's a disaster. Now let's take case number two. So this was case number one, where the woman was only dealing with stam yadayim. How about if the woman is not dealing with stam yadayim? She's dealing with much more chomer tuma. She touched a tummy mace. So she touched something that had come in touch with a mace, either a kli or an adam. And now she herself, she touched that thing, so she becomes a rishon, and she's not a sheni. Stam yadayim or a sheni, but a rishon is nogea even chulin. So let's talk about that case. In the event, bein b'mokom ha-mashke, she was nogea, bein b'mokom ha-mashke, or bein b'mokom ha-naguf, in this case, she could actually be metame without the mashke, because she's a sheni. She's a rishon, not a sheni. In the first case, she needed the mashkin in order for the mashkin koizim lios rishon. But here we don't need that. So because of that, it doesn't matter whether she touches a damp area or she touches a dry area, since the Allah itself actually was mukshar lekabel tuma. So then the only difference would be, is the Allah going to be metame everything else? So if the Allah itself has a shear of a kibetza, so then it would become a sheni latuma because it touched this woman who is a rishon latuma, and then it would make everything in the jar through the mashkin, which became a tchila, they would be chazer, everything betame, chazru betame is what it's called, everything in the jar. If there's no kibetza, so then only that particular Allah becomes tame, but as long as she doesn't touch anything in the jar, everything else would be tor, because it will be unable to be metame anything else lacking a shear. Now let's take case number three. Case number three is where she was not a rishon letuma mamish, and she was not stam yadayim, she was a tfulas yom. Now, a tfulas yom also has a din of a sheni letuma, but we're going to see that there are special dinim that apply to the dinim of sveikas of tful yom and sveikas of a case of shlishi betruma. So we want to have this separate case. So now let's say she's a tfulas yom, and what she did was she was mina'eret et hagdera, biyadayim misoavot. So she actually, either she upends it, or she stirs it, and she now goes ahead and puts her hand, mixing it up, and now, first of all, she's got the din of tfuyon, in this case, and she also has stam yadayim, because she put her hands in, and she didn't do anything with her hands. So now we've got two separate sveikas, and the reason we introduce it this way is because we want to talk about the difference between the various sveikas of tuma that are going to be nogea. Fine. Okay, so either this means she upends it, or she actually stirs it with her hands, and she's using stam yadayim, which are also considered to be sheni letuma. And now she looks down, and she sees v'ra'asa mashkin al yadeh safik min hakedera nitsu, or safik shehakelach naga biyadeh. So now we're not sure exactly what happens. She had picked up the whole thing and poured it into another jar, or she was stirring it with something with her hands that were actually tvul yom or sheni betuma, here both of them. And now she sees her hands are wet. Now she doesn't know, how did they get wet? Did they get wet directly from these mashkin? In which case, that nut didn't have any effect on the mashkin that were there. Or, actually, what might have happened is that she touched this little piece that had been sticking into the water, and therefore, if nagabi adeha, possibly that would mean that the mashkin on the kelach would have been metame, like we said before, the entire kedera. And we're not sure what happened because her hands were close to the inside on the spoon, or they were close to the whole mess where she was pouring it out with the jar. And she's not quite certain whether there was any contact with the kelach or not. So the din is, in that case, a suffix. Well, over here we have a suffix of negias truyom in truma. The din is that with a suffix on tumas eichlin, the yerek is pasul, because a suffix negia betruma pasuls the truma, even though it's only a suffix on the truyom. However, the kedera is going to be tahor, because a truyom is unique. Even though the Tfuyom has a din of a sheni betuma, and you'd think that that would mean that if it was touching truma, so then it would be able to make the mashkin to be chayzrim liyos trila. There's a special din on a Tfuyom, which is that only, and this is actually the Mishnah we had before. We had this Mishnah back in Purah. In Purah we learned, Kol haposel tatruma mitamei tamashkin liot chila, with the very special words at the end, chutz mitvuyom. So the only time that we have this kula, and we'll say a sheni betuma is not mitamei mashkin liot chila, that is only with the tvuyom. So therefore, in the case where she is the tvulas yom, she is not going to be mitamei the kedera, because the mashkin aren't tmeim. And if you don't have mashkin tmeim tchila, you don't have the gezera on the dinim of tumas kedera, or tuma of the jar. Now, you'll say, but, wait a second, there's the other suffix. The other suffix is that she had stam yadayim, and stam yadayim are also sheni. So we don't only have the problem of the tfuyom, we also have a problem of stam yadayim. What about that problem? Even that problem, it will not be metame the kedera because of making the mashkin a tchila. Because the halacha is that suffik negia on the gezera of yistam yadayim is tahar. Wow. Now, if, in fact, this woman had been in a different circumstances, let's say she wasn't Tvulas Yom, and her only suffix would have been whether there was a negia of Stam Yadayim, that then over there would be that suffix Yadayim would be Tohar, even the Gabe, the Yerek. The point over here is that since she is also a Tvulas Yom and Stam Yadayim, so therefore we can't say that the Yerek is Tohar, because of a suffix of negia b'stam yadayim, because there was a suffix negia with a tful yom, which we have to be machmir on, because that is actually mitame without our gezerah. But in this case, if there had been a simple case where it would be only one suffix, and would not have included a suffix tful yom, would have been a suffix of stam yadayim, then it would not have been mitame at all. Okay, so this is a very important understanding of the difference between suffix of Tvuyon and a suffix of Stam Yadayim, even though both of them are Asheni Betuma. So Kol HaPosel HaSatruma Metamis HaMashkin Liyos Tchila is not true of a Tvuyon, and therefore, even Megabe, the suffix of Negia of Yadayim, where it's only a Gzered Rabbanon, we're not going to be Metame at all. We're still stuck with the tuma of the yerek, because we don't need the mashkin to be chozim lios trila in order for it to be metami the yerek, but we would need it to be chozim lios trila in order to passel the bottle itself. Well, now, how about So in this case, the kedera would actually be 100% okay. And therefore, if it's a suffik min a kedera nitzu, suffik shakelach lagabi yadea, the yerek is pusel, and the kedera is tahor. Now,
like we were learning stirring, it wasn't with her hands.
It was with her hands near, but if she wasn't, she didn't mamish stick her hands in, but she stuck her hand on the cuff that she was using. She was using it right on top of the mixture. So now the question is, did that water come because her hands were so close they literally touched the alah that was sticking out? We're not sure. Okay, so the last part of the Mishnah is there to introduce the difference in the dinning of Sveikas. And the first part tells us the differences between the halachas of a sheni and what the basis of the sheni is, and the halacha of a risha. All right, doesn't seem to be that problematic, does it? Especially with all our special Gavi notes to help us. We must be missing something. And the truth is, the Rambam has an entirely different approach to the Mishnah, which is very complex, and not everyone has a good understanding of the Rambam. So we've explained it over here according to the other Rishonim. Okay, maybe we'll have a chance to go over it again and look at it from the point of view of the Rambam, if we have time tomorrow. This is quite a long Mishnah.